Thank you for joining us today on the Quantum Leap podcast.
Not sure, you're entirely welcome. My pleasure.
Could you tell me about your experience filming Quantum Leap, the four different episodes?
Quantum Leap was probably one of my favorite shows to do, partly because I was a huge fan of Dean Stockwell, and also because I adored watching Scott Bakula work. You know, he just was so professional, and he was so good at what he did, and he was just extraordinary. And I loved being with them, and they were such fun. I mean, Scott was very professional, and Dean was very funny. So we had a great time on the shoots. Dean was always late. He always had his cigar. He was always saying, "What are we doing? Where are we? What scene is it?" And it relaxed everybody, really, because then the focus was on him. And, of course, he knew exactly what he was doing. So, you know, but it was just great fun. I loved playing that character. I loved Renee Coleman. And we just had a great time. And Belisario was really good to me on that shoot. He had his moments. But on that shoot, he left me alone. I don't mean that in a salacious way. I mean, he could be very hands-on as a producer. And by then he trusted me, so he let me be.
Did the first episode of Quantum Leap you do help you get the role of Zoe later on?
I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is that was the most uncomfortable scene I've ever shot, sitting in that water and being submerged, and then having to come up. It was just a horrendously uncomfortable, episode. But I got on very well with Deborah Pratt. And we became sort of friends then, and I think that sort of helped a bit. I've no idea. I mean, I'd worked with Belisario before. I'd done a couple of Magnum PIs, and I knew that he was saving me for something else. And so it was just really nice. I mean, you know, in those days, you met a producer, and you created a relationship with them, and then they would offer you stuff out of the blue,
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of what happened, and it was just really nice. I think it came more from what I did on Magnum than from drowning,
Well, you were also kind of a scary ghost at the end there.
I was. I've played several scary ghosts, really. I mean, evil is what I do. I'm known for. So, evil, strong, powerful, domineering, all of those, and or murderers.
Do you like playing evil people?
Of course. I mean, they're much more interesting to play. And I've always loved them. But I've played a lot of them. In England, I used to play much nicer people. And when I got to the States, it turned into evil. Because Murder, She Wrote, I did four of those. I did three Father Dowlings. And, that's all I did was kill people.
And get paid for it.
And then Lacey. I mean, I just killed people. And then when I went into the alien work, I was just a leader. Interesting, huh?
Do you get recognized more at conventions from Star Trek or from Quantum Leap or something else?
No, Star Trek. Always Star Trek. Tourette is one of their favorites, and then closely followed by Marath to Yale, the scientist. But Tourette is their favorite. I like Tourette, too. I thought she was really good.
I loved Marath to Yale. That was really good in the episode First Contact of Next Generation. Really good character. Sticks in your mind. Is that more like you than...
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. My children might disagree with you, but I'd like to think that I was more like Marath than I am Commander Tourette. But there were fascinating things to do. I mean, on one hand, it was just a job, and I was really lucky, and they called me back four times. But on the other hand, it was always fascinating to do, because at the time when I did it, I had no idea that it was going to turn into this sort of thing afterwards, the conventions and all of that. I had no idea.
Was the makeup work hard to do? Was that difficult, being in makeup?
The makeup work was an absolute sod. I got there at 3:30 in the morning, ready to shoot by 7:30. It was hell. And the first time I went in because they had to make a mask, so the first time I went in and I got the complete face mask put on, I was doing it with a guy who was going to be an extra. And as soon as they covered him up and put the straws up his nose and in his mouth, he lasted about 30 seconds when he was gone. He just couldn't take it. But they were horrible, horrible, horrible things to wear. They're just no fun. And by the end of the week, you've just got this ring of, because I was allergic to the glue that they put on. And as Marath to Yale, they made me a special pair of sort of fish flippers, hands that were like mittens. And these things were just a pain in the butt. I just didn't know what to do with these things. And the scenes always, they let you wait around with all this stuff on, and then suddenly they say, ready in five, and then you knew you were going to work for about 8 hours. So they came, they said, ready in five. I said, okay, I have to go to the loo. Zoomed off to go to the bathroom. And as I turned around, knocked one of these things into the loo. One of these fish finger things into the loo. And I sat there staring at this thing floating about. I thought, what do I do? I didn't know if I could wash it. I didn't know how to, I mean, I didn't know what to do with the thing. So I very gingerly put it under water. And it immediately absorbed all the water that was in the basin. So it was now this really revolting thing that I, mitten, I had to put back on my hand. And I used it a lot in the scene. So it was just awful. So I eventually got it wrung out and dried off and then went in there and said I'd lost them. And so then they tied them both onto me with a piece of string like a child going to school. And these stupid things right around me. But anyway, and they weren't going to make me another one because they were very difficult to make, and they had so many to make with all that stuff that ears were put on. I had maybe 3 pairs of ears, and they were put on separately, and I had 1 pair of these mittens for Marasta, and I had 3 masks for Torak, and that was it. So I had to. They took 3.5 hours to put on every morning, and they took 1.5 hours to take off every night. So I got there at 3:30. I was on the set by 7:30, wrapped at 10:30, and back at 3:30.
So was it a relief when you got to do your Voyager episodes where you didn't have the prosthetic makeup?
Well, the Voyager thing was a whole other case. There were massive problems with her too. Well, she took a long time, too, because of the wig and all of that sort of stuff, and you know, the hideous harridan, as I used to call it. And I did that shoot with septicemia. I had been bitten by a cat down to the bone, and I didn't want it to not do the job, so I thought I'd just quietly not mention to them. You know, I'd already done the Friday shoot. I was coming in to finish her off on the Monday. So I thought, and I got bitten on the Saturday, and I knew I was in trouble because it blew up and I had blood poisoning. So I went to the hospital and said, listen, I've got the shoot, so just fix me up until Tuesday. I'll be in on Tuesday morning. I mean, I was insane. So I got to Paramount, and my arm was all puffy, and I was wearing that stupid outfit. So I just said quietly to somebody, listen, you know, on the TV, just keep me filled up with painkillers because I've got this blood poisoning thing, and I just want to finish this shoot, and I've told them I'll be back on Tuesday. Well, they absolutely freaked. I mean, it was just naive of me to think I could get away with it. And they all freaked, and they told the director, they told the producer, and the next thing, I was marched off half-dressed in my Victorian gear to the emergency room at Cedars Sinai, which is the big hospital in LA. And I get towed in there into the emergency. I'm wearing the wig with all the lace stuff. I have that strange makeup on. I've got a Victorian petticoats and all of that stuff on. And I'm walking through the emergency room, and there's 2 guys who've just been in a knife fight, and they're lying on stretchers, just bleeding everywhere. And they look at me as I walk past, and their eyes get absolutely enormous, and they just say, we've died, we've died, we've died. And they really thought I was something out of another life that had just walked past them. You know, and it must have been the most weird thing, seeing me in costume going in the emergency room. I don't know, maybe they're used to it because it's Hollywood, but it was fun for me.
You would think they would see that all the time.
Well, you'd think so, but I don't think they did, because normally most people get, you know, I went to the emergency because it was blood poisoning, but I think most of the doctors go to the studios.
That storyline of the Hollow novel that you're in on Voyager, it never really got resolved. Was there any plans to bring you back for another episode?
Oh, yeah, they thought this would be an arc that would go on through the series, but every so often, because it was basically Mrs. Danvers. That they thought that I would come back, and they told me that at the beginning. They said, listen, this is your chance, because you're going to be probably in 3 or 4, maybe 5 of these episodes. And the writers just couldn't make an interesting enough story out of it for it to be continued. That was basically all that happened. So they dropped it. They didn't like it up there, upstairs, you know?
I liked it. I was always looking forward to seeing how it ended, but...
Well, I know. I know. Kate and I had all sorts of ideas about it because it could have been really interesting, but they just didn't want to pursue it. And I don't think that they were, you know, well, I don't know. I don't know if I knew enough about the classics, you know, because there was all sorts of fun ways it could go. Anyway, they didn't, so that.
Other than the Star Trek and Quantum Leap, do you have any favorite projects that you did or that people seem to enjoy that you were in? I know you've done so much, but is there anything that like really sticks out as your favorite?
There was so much of it because, you know, television is such a strange medium that it's very difficult to lose yourself in it, you know, as an actor. I mean, and I've done a lot of theater and I've done a lot of good movies, you know, and I don't have a special one because each one... I don't have a special one. I have some horrible ones I'd rather not have done, but I don't even talk about. But the ones that I did that people know me for, I always had a good time. The people made it's so much easier to work well when you're surrounded by good actors, and it's as simple as that. You know, the Cagney and Lacey's I did. I loved both those women. They were just extraordinary and became great friends. In Patrick Stewart was a joy, as was, I mean, everybody on Star Trek was a joy. I loved, that's all I can say. I love doing theater. I've done a lot of that. And it's the company that allows you to go to different heights. Bad television breeds bad performances, good stories, good acting. It's a very boring answer to your question.
No, that was good. That was good. With the advent of Netflix and people watching older television shows, you get new generations coming up to you that recognize you from shows you did earlier in your career?
Well, there are some people that do. I mean, you know, and on this side of the globe, what's happening is that people know me very well for a ghastly movie that I did that I hated called Steptoe and Son.
that was the original Sanford and Son, right?
That was the precursor to Sanford and Son, and I did the only movie, and I hated it. I loved Wilfred, but I hated the rest of them, and it ended up being a very uncomfortable shoot for me. But it's incredibly popular, and I was in a cab about 6 months ago. I was in London, and I hadn't been back for 35 years, really, not for any length of time, and I was in this cab, and I was going off somewhere. And the cabbie kept looking at me and smiling. And he said, "Why are you smiling?" And I said, "Well, it's so bizarre to be back here after 30 years tooling around in a cab." And he said, "Why, where have you been?" And I said, "Well, Los Angeles." And he said, "Yeah, huh, I knew that." And I said, "How did you know that?" He said, "Because I know who you are." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You did a movie called Steptoe and Son, didn't you?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "That's one of my favorite movies." So bizarre to be recognized. I mean, he didn't know anything else I'd done. He didn't know me from the Star Trek or any of that. He remembered me from Steptoe. I mean, I did Steptoe in 1972 or 70. That's a long time ago. And I was gone. So that was sort of interesting. People know me here for Survivors, which is also a television series.
Right, that's big on Netflix right now, too.
Is it big?
I think so. I see a lot of people talking about it, so it's on my queue. I'm going to check it out.
Well, no, it's a really interesting. I think it holds up. So if you can get by the accents, I think it really holds up.
Oh, I love British television. So,
well, we're doing. Funnily enough, the three of us that did the first series are all getting together to do an audio series of Survivors.
Oh, wow.
And we're doing it for a company called Big Finish here in England, who are also at the moment doing a lot of Doctor Who.
I love Doctor Who.
Well, they're doing Doctor Who with Colin, and I've done one of them as an alien, so I'm going back to do another. And then they said, you know, we're going to do a series with all you original guys of Survivors. I think that's a great idea. So that's one of my projects coming up this year.
That's amazing. You've been doing a lot of voice work lately for video games also, and you're one of the few people that have done Star Trek and Star Wars because you've done the Star Wars video games.
I know. I never thought of it like that.
you and Doctor Who, you've been in everything, really, all the iconic big sci-fi things.
I know, isn't that cool?
It's amazing.
I love it. It's so cool. I really do. Now... I went to Cardiff to do a convention, and we got a whole bunch of stuff together. And of the photographs that went most of all, it was Mass Effect, the Doctor in Mass Effect. The Cardiff University were there, and that's the one that they recognized me for, and they really love that character.
Do you enjoy doing the voice work?
It's such hard work. I love it. I love it because it's a chance to act, you know, in your comfy clothes. But it is such hard work. And you really know that you've worked hard when you've done one of those shows. To work with just a microphone and to make it come alive and know that the people are going to write this whole character and the creature that it's going to be. I mean, luckily they give you a guideline of the character. You know, they give you a diagram of what she's going to look like. And then you go from there. But it's incredibly hard work because you have nobody to act off. So it's great fun. I love it, but I'm always exhausted. And also because there's always a lot of dying in it. So one's screaming and the last one, what was the last one? Gears of War. We went through one afternoon where Chris called me and he said, this is going to be hell. So you've got to really have your voice warmed up. So I'm singing and warming up my voice in the car going over there. People thought I was nuts, and I get in there, and he's got like 60 pages of Mira, the Locust Queen, dying. And he said, "All right, so we're going to start with this one, and this is when you get cut in half with an electric, with a saber, you know, a laser saber. This is where you get burned. This is where you get blown up. This is where," and there were all these different ways that I had to die. I literally couldn't talk for about 2 days. And it's exhausting. It's exhausting using that much energy and having to remember that you can't go off mic, that you've got to keep it in focus. You've got to remember where. It's crazy. It's crazy, but I love it. I lose pounds doing that. You just sweat buckets in that studio. It's great fun.
Going back to Quantum Leap, did you find a different playing a hologram versus a leaper?
No, because there is no difference. The truth is there. You play the person. You know, she doesn't know she's a hologram. She doesn't care if she's a hologram. I mean, the only element that might have come into it is that she could have more fun. But I mean, really, she just, as far as she was concerned, I guess she just thought she was real.
We have a question from Hayden.
Yeah.
Ms. Stoltz was a ghost and disappeared once her body was found. Zoe and Aaliyah are implied to be dead and sent by the devil to undo Sam's work. Do you think it was intended that Mrs. Stoltz and Zoe are the same character and that Zoe was recruited because of her previous altercation with Sam, or do you see them as entirely separate characters?
Well, this person has spent a lot of time thinking about it. What a good question. Do you know, I mean, I've never, ever considered it, so I don't, I can only, because I've never really thought about it, I would have to say that it was, that it was two separate characters. But maybe that's what Don said. He never brought that up to me. But maybe that's exactly what it was. But what a brilliant concept. Thank you to whoever that was. Brilliant.
That was Hayden.
Hayden, well, thank you. Well done.
You have such a great voice. I think that's why people recognize you no matter how many prosthetics you wear is partly, you know, of course you're acting, but the voice is amazing.
I think it is too. My voice has got me into lots of trouble and also lots of joy. It's worked out well. It did not start off like this, Albie. It was a very different voice. It was very high. I had a very high voice, and I went to drama school, and probably the paramount voice teacher in the world, a woman called Sis Berry, who is extraordinary and stands among, well, maybe not the world, she's probably amongst five. But she taught me voice, and I used to talk like the Queen, and I had no lower register. I talked exactly like that, as you will see when you watch Survivors. And she came up to me, and she just punched me in the diaphragm one day. And if you get punched in the diaphragm and you let out the air, your voice goes, and she said to me, "I never, ever, ever want to hear your voice go higher than that." And that's where my voice, trying to keep it down there. And now it's completely natural. And I didn't have a range before, so it was incapable of working for me because that's my tool. And if I don't use it properly, you know, I let it down. And she enabled me to see how far I could go with it. That's why voice work is such a joy now. I really practice with it. It's always learning. I never get it right. Never get it right. No matter how many takes, I never get it right. I've maybe gotten it right twice in a 40-year career.
Wow.
Always driving.
Do you have any little anecdotes or stories that happened while filming Quantum Leap the listeners might want to hear?
I don't. I mean, that's the awful thing is I don't. I mean, it's been a long time. And, you know, I don't because there just wasn't time for anything too funny to happen. I'm sure Scott had some things to talk about, but there was nothing horrible happened on that show. It was very tightly organized, very tightly run, and there just wasn't time. You know, Scott was professional and just had a bead on he knew everything about everyone on that shoot. He knew everybody. He knew everybody's names. He was just divine and professional and gentle and kind, but so well rehearsed and so on the ball every single day. I've never known a man work so hard. And the opposite end of that was Dean, who didn't work so hard. And Dean was the one who had the jokes, and Dean was the one with that filthy cigar that I loathed. And he and I were the naughty couple on the set. I mean, we were the ones that created sort of, you know, if there was any problem or we weren't ready, we'd kick off in the middle of a take or something. It was Dean and I. But I don't have any sort of real anecdotes because there just wasn't time for them. It was a very professional shoot.
Well, that's good to know. It's good to know that you enjoyed your time, though.
I did. I loved it.
Was it difficult with all the special effects they had to do with the leaping and the morphing? Did you have to spend extra time, like, standing still, and was that difficult?
No. That in itself wasn't difficult. What was difficult was remembering where you were when it turned around, you know what I mean? Thank God for that continuity girl who really, you know, continuity guy, I mean. You know, they both of them worked really, really hard. No, that, it just was confusing because, you know, they'd say you've morphed now and boom, and you were somewhere else. And so it was sort of weird, but it wasn't difficult. I didn't have to do anything special. Special effects, they do it all.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. I really appreciate it.
It was lovely. You're very welcome, Arthur.